I am Bill Courtwright with Living Right with Bill Courtwright, and this is the Stress Mastery Podcast, where we take you from the science to the spirituality of stress mastery.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Stress Mastery Podcast. I am your host, Bill Courtwright, and I am here with the super millennial, David Barreto, giving us the millennial perspective. How you doing this week, David?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good.
So this week's topic is letting go. And on Sunday's Stress Mastery Weekend Edition, host Mark Middlestead kicked it off with the nature of attachment. On Monday with the Super Millennial, talked on master being bad. Today's Health Huddles, we're going to talk on the stress response and letting go. On Meeting of the Minds on Wednesday, we're going to speak on opportunities. But I'm also going to do the second part of the stress response in the brain. And on Connection Thursday, we're going to have a discussion on rewriting your book. And this week on Friday, it's a sad ending. But we are coming to the end of our book study, A Happy Pocket Full of Money by David Cameron Gyandi. And we will finish that book up. And before we get started today, Daniel, I would like to apologize for David slaughtering your name because he told me how to say it. It's Daniel from the community has recommended our next book. So if you want to get started on this next book, it is The Book of Joy by the Dalai Lama and Archbishop Desmond Tutu. You have any announcements, David?
Only thing, I'll make it a little easy for you guys. If I can find it on Amazon, I'll go ahead and put it in the link below so you guys are following the same book and everything. And like Bill says,
I think it's a New York Times bestseller, Dave. I don't think you have to worry about finding it on Amazon.
No. I was saying like audiobook and like for all platforms. Yeah, sure. I try to make it easy for everybody because are biased for the iPhone grain over here.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so this week, our topic is letting go. In today's Health Huddles, we are discussing the stress response and letting go. So the question is, what is letting go? And one definition is to stop thinking or being angry about the past or something that happened in the past. Another definition of letting go is letting go of painful memories and painful thoughts, or letting go of harmful desires, letting go of unhealthy habits. And I'm kind of here to discuss this week, that this is not letting go. How can one stop thinking, just stop thoughts about the past? What are your thoughts on that? Are you combing your beard while we're doing this?
Yeah, man, that's
your great beard looks gorgeous today. It's like a head of hair.
There sure is, but
see, the question is how can one stop thinking and just stop thoughts about the past?
I think it's one thing because a lot of people feel that it's easier said than done, and since we're reading definitions like that, I think people believe that that's how simple it should be.
Exactly. So really, if you ask how can one stop dwelling on the past, especially if the past was painful or fearful, you know, so that, you know, they tell us in personal development, just let go. But the question has to be, and everybody has to be asking it, how do we just let go? Do we deny that we feel worried? Do we deny the regret or resentment we might feel? Do we push it down? And the answer is no, because repression of these feelings make them stronger. So do we ignore it, fake it until we make it? No, because this creates imposter syndrome and will eventually implode. So do we just let go? Sure, but the question is how? And in truth, how do we let go if we feel anxious, sad, guilty? Do we just let it go? Well, if you have tried this, you each know that it's virtually impossible. Would you agree with me? When you're stuck in those emotions to just let go the way that we're taught to let go or the way the definition says it, is impossible. So what is letting go? Letting go is a practice. It's a process of detaching our true self, the heart, from the ego, the false self, and the head, and the program activated. This is the process of releasing the program. That when you release the program that causes the negative thoughts and feelings, you create a shift. So these programs are what brings your past into the present and builds that painful reality. When you truly practice letting go, use the let go technique, use the process of slow down, you are transforming your perception of life. And this builds a new reality. The bridge for this transformation is the let go technique. Do you have any thoughts on that, David?
I think that's a great way to put it. I think a lot of people think that letting go just means kind of giving up and living with whatever that feeling or emotion, whatever it is. But it, like you said, it's the perception change of whatever that reality you have become.
And I think this is why this week is important, because I agree with you, David. A lot of people think they just give up. And then that just beats you down late, more and more as time goes on. Now, and this is important. You cannot use the bridge of transformation, which is letting go, unless you create the ability to take conscious mind control. And I'm going to talk more on the stress response in the brain tomorrow, a show I've never done, but you'll understand why it can be a challenge to take conscious mind control. And the main challenge is because the human being is hardwired for behavior, and this behavior is dictated by what is held in mind. The painful emotions, negative thoughts, all stem from programs held in mind. To let go of these, we must develop the practice of awareness. This is what slow down, let go, these techniques do. Because to take conscious mind control when you're activated, you have to create a still point. You create a still point by slowing down and becoming aware of the voice, the thoughts in your head, the ego, and becoming aware of the feelings and emotions in the body, in the heart. And it is only in this state that you can use the bridge of transformation, the let go technique, and build a new reality. Do you have anything you want to add to that?
I think the big thing for me is the allowing part of it. You know, it's not to bury your head in the sand. It's not to ignore it or dismiss it. It's to embrace what is in order to do it.
It's so important. And this is also important. Letting go is a process. And this might take people out of the confusion of letting go, David. It's a process that only happens through the body. You do not let go through the head. The bridge of transformation happens through the heart. And this is what brings us to today's Health Huddles, talking about the stress response and letting go. So there's many personal development junkies, spiritual seekers that believe that transformation comes from quieting the mind. And they use meditation, quiet the mind through meditation. And this just is not so. Transformation comes through creating a shift, letting go of the programs held in mind. This process creates natural detachment. It's one thing to say you're detached. It's another thing to be detached. Do you understand that, David, what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So we look at meditation as simply a practice. It's an exercise. True meditation is the ability to go throughout the day, the entirety of the day, allowing life, slowing down, letting go, and finding the now. And this is when true transformation really happens. Yet, if your body is diseased, If your body is constantly in pain, if your body is sluggish and tired, if your body is not balanced in its natural operation and stasis, you can call yourself a spiritual person, and you're most likely a very good person, but you just cannot be in a spiritual state, because these individuals live in peace. And you can't live in peace if the body is diseased, because this will cause you to get stuck in conflict resolution. So you get stuck in a conflict and the resolution never comes. You don't, you're unable to execute it because, and I'll explain that even more tomorrow with the brain, because you're stuck in survival. You are stuck there. And if we look at all the great sages, they had very strong constitutions of the body, for you let go and transform through the body. So are you understanding this? Am I coming across clearly on this?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's one thing I think people understand now, especially if they're seeking towards this part, that they understand that the body just causes an uphill battle if it's not where it should be.
Well, you remember last week, many people inquired about the Kriya practice, right? When we talked about it on last week's Connection Thursday. Yet truth, very few are ready to execute it. So Sadhguru stated, you could try to learn these higher techniques from a book, but unless you're in a certain state, you won't be able to execute this. In other words, you won't get the benefits of Kriya, which is about raising prana, raising vibration. You can't go into that frequency, that higher frequency, if the body is imbalanced. And so what Sadhguru says when he talks about destiny, he says, if one masters the body, that puts 15 to 20% of your destiny in your hands. That's pretty good, right? And you're going to understand that today when I talk about the stress response. But if one masters the body and the mind, that puts 50 to 60% of your destiny in your hands. And you'll learn more about that tomorrow. What I talked about on last week's Connection Thursday, and Sadhguru puts it this way, if you master life energy, which is prana, that puts 100% of your destiny in your hands. And it's the process on the practices of stress mastery that can get you to that state. And you have to understand, you want to enjoy the process. There is no way to skip any of these steps because of the way the human being functions and operates. These steps are laid out to work within the Homo sapiens operation and survival guide. So you cannot really do just a few of the stress mastery steps. You have to incorporate all seven if you desire to raise your vibration to the highest of spiritual frequencies. See, one cannot just master diet and exercise, steps one and two of stress mastery, and think you can reach higher vibration, for you still carry stage three programs. Mm-hmm. So remember, you get pulled back into stage three, socialized mind, you're stressed out, right? Again, it lowers the prana. Now, on the other hand, as Sadhguru said, you cannot just master personal development steps three, name your ego, step four, let go technique, or step five, green focus power hour, and not balance the body, because the human construct will keep locking you in the identity base of event, judgment, and reaction. Again, pulling you back into stage three and becoming stressed out. So you will fail if you don't take care of the body, you just focus on the mind. You will fail to be able or to have the ability to create the still point as you live out through the day. And one cannot just sit in meditation in step six of stress mastery and talk about finding or being in the now or being present, step seven of stress mastery, if you only have the ability to meditate in your meditation practice. Because if you can't take meditation practice out of the meditation room into every moment of your life, well, the meditation is pretty useless because it will not allow you to come into awareness and response. Does that make sense? Is that all clear?
Yeah, that's what why one of my favorite kind of teachers or current like online influencers, Jay Shetty. He left, became a monk. He learned how to become a monk in isolation, but brought it back into one of the most public ways possible by becoming, you know, famous, if you will, online, showing that it's important to be able to live within the chaos without it affecting you. I think that's one of the greatest examples I have of this day.
Absolutely. I totally agree. So this brings us to today's episode, the stress response. See, a response, the stress response is a response that cannot be shut down. It's very important to understand this because this is a response built within each and every human being on the planet. So this is a response that affects everything you do, every cell in the body, and it is the response that drives your behavior. The stress response sets your state of being, and this is a response that can only be managed through diet and exercise. I must repeat that. The stress response, the survival response of the body, can only be managed through diet and exercise. If you don't have this response managed, you will be trapped in your past. You will be stuck in your programs. You will be a slave to your thoughts and emotions. For to let go, and the process of letting go must be done through the body. Do you understand, David?
Yes.
So that's bringing me in to what I want to talk about the next couple of days. I want to really educate you on this because once you understand it, you can start taking control of it. And I'll give you tips to take control of it today. This doesn't have to be hard. People make it hard. It doesn't have to be hard. It has to be understood. Yeah. Do you agree with me on that?
100%.
So let's talk about my history a little bit with the stress response. My discovery of the stress response took place in 1989. I was working with an individual who had fibromyalgia. And this is a condition that causes chronic pain and chronic fatigue. And no matter what I did, I couldn't seem to relieve her symptoms of fatigue and consistent discomfort. And she was following the diet I gave her. She was also journaling, doing the exercises of the Green Focus Power Hour. It wasn't called that then, but all the exercises were there. And so she was doing all the personal development that I asked her to do, plus the diet I gave her, and nothing changed. Now, I was taught, trained while working the family practice clinic that the right diet at that time was about 70% carbohydrates, 20% protein, and 10% fat. Everything was focused on low fat. So that was the diet I gave her. Yet at this time in my career, I was deep into my bodybuilding career and I never personally ever followed such a diet. Now, this case was very frustrating to me because I knew the patient pretty well. I knew she was being compliant. She was compliant not only with the diet, but also all the personal development practices I asked her to do. And it was about this time I began studying Dr. David Hawkins. Now, Dr. Hawkins had published results from his psychiatric practice, how he was actually curing psychosis. Psychosis is that other doctors could not work with, conditions other doctors wouldn't even take, and he was curing them by removing sugar from the diet and giving him large amounts of certain B vitamins. Now, this patient was suffering. And I mean, she was suffering both mentally and physically. And in those days, fibromyalgia was not considered a real thing. So they wanted her to go into therapy, psychiatrist, and all this. And the thing was, she was pretty mentally stable. She was just in consistent fatigue and pain. So I decided to go rogue, go against my doctors. And back then, believe me, you followed the medical guidelines because we were taught if they were gospel. And programs at that time, such as Dr. Atkins, which was a high-fat, low-carbohydrate diet, was considered taboo. If you were using that, you were killing your patient. That's what they were considered. And there were, there was a diet called Cambridge diet that was a meal replacement. I think it was like 600 calories, David. And that doctors believed in. And so when you were in medicine, you believed everything they told you. It must be right if the doctor says so. Nobody questioned. There was no WebMD. Michael Singer hadn't made his mark yet. You understand?
Yeah.
So with this patient, I began cutting the carbs. And I sort of gave her my bodybuilding diet. I increased the protein and the fats, and I cut the carbs. I cut all sugar, cut all fruit, cut all grains. And at first, she was scared because this was so far against what everybody was telling her to do. So in the first weeks, she had some terrible cravings for sugar. It was bad. First couple weeks, it's almost like when you do the hormone trap reset. Those first couple weeks are like, wow, right?
I feel for her.
That, yeah, you went through that, didn't you? But then it happened. She actually woke one day, and the first thing she noticed was she actually felt rested. That was the first thing. She actually felt rested. Then she noticed the pain had diminished. There was still some discomfort, but not that pain. And then she did her morning routine and felt spectacular. And you know what she did? She went straight to my office. Now, I remember that day because she kind of pushed herself through the office, which she didn't do, right? There was a lot of layers to get through. And she pushed her way into my office and she just started crying. It was the first time, she told me, in several years that she actually felt good. Now, for this patient, everything began to click. She was already working on her mind. She was already self-authoring her life. But now she could actually start exercising, and she did just that. She actually began bodybuilding. And I haven't spoken to her for many years, but the last time I spoke to her was like 2002 before I packed up to move to Panama, which means that was 13 years later, and she was still managing her condition with no issues. She still had the condition. She still had fibromyalgia. And once in a while, she would have flare-ups. But she also had an amazing life, and she had two children. And back then, for me, it was miraculous to watch this transformation because it was right before my eyes. But it actually left me with more questions than answers. And it wouldn't be until a few years later where I would figure out why this all worked for her. And it would be another 10 years before what I discovered would be validated by Dr. William Evans of Tufts University. The reason this patient got better was the diet would manage the stress response. When the stress response was managed, and along with her personal development, she was able to manage her adrenal functions, which allowed her to manage the fibromyalgia. And all of this tied into her personal development practices and gave her her life back. Now, please understand, this patient would never have improved as she did if we had just gotten the diet right. For if her mind was still consistently in conflict, the body would support the mind and she would have flare-ups from the fibromyalgia. But you can also see from this story that her being positive and working on her mind also did not work when the body was in conflict. So David, that was my discovery, and I'll go in and explain it. Do you have anything you want to add to this? You saw this happen in the clinic, I don't know, hundreds of times.
Yeah, that was going to say, that was the only thing. It's something when you get to see it happen in front of you. And all of my patients that I've ever had that I knew was going to be successful have the mind of wanting to change along with the actions of their body doing the right thing. Most of them came in very positive, you know, a lot of them came in, but their bodies were horrible. It sucks to kind of say that because somebody tries so much without the body being where it needs to be, you know, doing what it has to. But when they start to connect them and click them together, it's a whole new person. And it's a person that they haven't unlocked in years.
Yes. Oh, that's a great way to put it, David, because what happens is they get control of their behavior. Mm-hmm. They get out of the red zone and control their behavior. Now, when we talk on the stress, the physiological stress response, and I'm going to talk a body, and tomorrow I'm going to talk how it works in the mind and the brain. But the stress response consists of two hormones that drive it. They're cortisol from the adrenal glands and insulin from the pancreas. When the human construct is activated in the alarm system red zone, the HPA axis is turned on to prepare the body and mind to go into reaction mode of fight and flight. So the alarm system, the sympathetic nervous system, is activated after the amygdala sends a distress signal to the hypothalamus. This is the H in the HP axis. Then the pituitary, the P in the HP axis, must send communication from the head, the brain, to the body so the body can support the mind in reaction. So the pituitary gland sends a hormone into the bloodstream. This is the ACTH hormone.
Welcome to Florida.
Yeah, hear that thunder, everybody? That's thunderstruck. I'm excited too, God. I'm excited. The pituitary gland sends a hormone into the bloodstream. This is called the ACTH hormone, the adrenal corticotropic hormone. And this actually sends a signal to activate the adrenal glands, the adrenal cortex. And the adrenal glands is the A in the HPA axis. Now, the adrenal glands go to work to get the body to support the mind by secreting the cortisol hormone. Now, they secrete also norepinephrine, adrenaline, but cortisol is the main hormone that communicates the stress response or the fight or flight response. So the adrenal glands secrete cortisol. Cortisol's hormone is to prepare the body to support the mind. The mind is in the red zone, so the body must fight or flight whatever happens to be causing the mind to be in defend and attack. And for cortisol to do this, cortisol needs a fuel for the body to react. This fuel the body uses is sugar. It's our glucose. So cortisol signals the liver. The liver releases the sugar, and now the body has a fuel. But this fuel must get into the engine, which is the cells of the body, to produce energy. So the pancreas reacts to the sugar in the bloodstream by releasing the hormone insulin. This does two things to prepare the body to support the mind in the red zone. One, it drives the glucose, the sugar, into the cells to be converted into energy. Two, it depresses another hormone called glucagon so the body doesn't burn fat. The fat is the body's stored fuel for emergencies and the fuel the body uses when the body's in the green zone. This would be when the tribe was working or they were moving or they were gathering and hunting as a unit. They needed fat because they could go times without food. But in stress response, you do not ever burn fat. So the stress response never shuts off. Even unless the only way we can manage the stress response is when we sleep or the mind becomes calm. So how did the change in diet help the patient with fibromyalgia? Well, the diet she was on was heavy in grains, fruits, proteins and healthy breads and so-called healthy carbohydrates. Every carbohydrate turns to sugar. And as I would discover, as I investigated this further and I investigated deeper into her body did not process carbohydrates very well. So as I said, every carbohydrate breaks into sugar and sugar activates the pancreas to release insulin. Now, if your body processes carbohydrates, this is no issue. The carbohydrate breaks into sugar, insulin releases, the sugar is driven into the cells and used as fuel or stored as glycogen for the body to use later. But if the body does not process properly, then what happens? The body goes into disarray. Many professionals believe that increased insulin causes inflammation, but the truth is, increased insulin causes an imbalance in the stress response, which causes inflammation. So if you don't process carbohydrates, that'll happen is the sugar will build up in the bloodstream. And as the insulin spikes to remove the sugar into the cells, if these cell doors are closed, you don't process sugar, the sugar will continue to build up in the bloodstream, in the system. And so the pancreas must remove it, so it responds by releasing more and more insulin. This is also called insulin resistance. As this happens, the body stresses out and the adrenals release cortisol and more cortisol. And this creates a hyper stress response. Now, to solve this issue, insulin, which is a very powerful hormone, will take the sugar to the liver and drop the sugar levels very quickly. And this also will drop cortisol. So both cortisol and insulin drop, and this creates a low stress response. And what happens then? One, cortisol levels become low, and cortisol being the natural anti-inflammatory of the body is low, thus we have an increase in inflammation. Two, insulin drops low. This low stress response causes cravings for carbohydrates and sweets. No, you are not addicted to chocolate. You are out of balance. Number three, the excess sugar that was in the bloodstream is taken to the liver, and this is turned into fat. This is where triglycerides are born, and this causes the liver to malfunction, which causes even more sugar imbalance, which affects our sleep and brain. And four, if the pattern behavior persists, the adrenals will fatigue and the thyroid will begin to shut down and store the active T3, shutting down the metabolism. And five, you will feel anxious and or depressed. And tomorrow I will discuss how our brain functions through the stress response. But today, and I know I'm going to run a little bit over, let's just focus on the body and managing the stress response. And let me just give some easy ways that you can start this right away, David. Anything you want to say before I jump into this?
No, let's do it.
All right. So, gave you a lot. This is going to be an episode you're going to have to listen to again, but it's an important one. Number one, if you want to manage your stress response, you must drink water. If your water levels are not right, you're not hydrated, you're not going to manage your response. You're going to stay stuck in the red zone alarm system. So you got to drink water. Number two, you got to have your diet right. If you don't know what to eat, you're not sure what to eat, then put yourself in a 6-hour time restricted window, which means let's say you're eating between 12 and 6 or 1 and 7. What that time restricted window will do, it will manage the insulin and cortisol hormones. It will manage the adrenals. It will manage the stress response. It's not a fix, but it starts the process. Yeah. Number three, exercise. Well, understanding the stress response is another reason that weight training is the best exercise. It is really good because you know what weight training does on a physiological level, on a cellular level, David? It increases insulin response. So if you're not ready to start pumping iron, which most of you probably aren't, then at least get movement in. And here you want to get at least 6,000 to 10,000 steps a day. Just start there because you'll start to manage the response. Yes. And then I would say number four, discover your stress responder. Are you a cage rattler? Are you a stress belly or your hormone trap? Because that stress responder is going to dictate how you need to eat and exercise for the single purpose to manage the stress response. And number five, slow down. When you slow down, you turn on the recuperation system, and I'm going to teach you tomorrow how our brain functions and why this works. All right, David, it's yours.
I think this is one that people just need to sit with and digest. Get it, body episode joke. But no, I think so many people think that their minds are the issue. And, you know, until you get this part down, you're, like I said earlier in the episode, you're fighting an uphill battle with you thinking you're doing everything right, even though you're missing a few steps. Like I said, if you follow the definition by definition, you feel like it should be very easy. It feels like it should be, okay, so stop thinking about it. Okay, so stop doing it. No, it's not that it's simple. Not.
Nope.
But when you find what's right for you, it becomes simple. And that's what I think people need to understand. Find what's right for you. So things that you're doing feel like they're flowing because your body is asking and needing it.
So tomorrow, well, I'll talk the other part of this was the body. Then we'll talk about how the brain in a stress response works. And you're going to understand a lot of why the let go technique works. So easy steps. Drink some water today. Eat in a window. Get a little bit of a walk in. Move a little bit. And that will start the process. You don't need to kill yourself to start the process. But you must start the process. That's it for today's show. Our mission here is to create a shift in the planet. You can join us on that mission by simply like, share, and subscribe. The links are right below the show. As always, until next time, stay inspired.